Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and they followed him.
Thank you, Carl. Brilliantly read. And just to say, in this church, we believe the Bible is the word of God. And it's important to us as Christians that we read it, we understand it, because it has so much to teach us about how God wants us to live. I want to show you a picture of four friends, if I could. These people, well, perhaps you'd like to know these people. Perhaps you don't even know who they are, but they are four. And I put the question there, are they four world changers? So as we look at the screen on the, let's go, who should we start with? Let's go top right. Who knows who that is? That's Mark Zuckerberg. Can I tell you, he's actually worth $129 billion, $129 billion is his net worth. Okay, who else have we got? We got old Bill Gates down bottom left, Microsoft. What do you reckon he's worth? He's only worth $138 billion, okay? And then we got Jeff Bezos. Which one's Jeff Bezos? Top left. He's worth $187 billion, okay? And he did go through a divorce with his wife, Mackenzie, and that cost him $36 billion. That's a big payout, isn't it? She probably deserved more. Okay, next one. And then last we've got a guy called Elon Musk, okay? You've heard of Tesla? He's the Tesla man. And he is worth, let's get this, $269 billion, okay? I worked out, this is what I worked out. If I worked for 7 million years, I would be able to accumulate about £200 billion, which would be about the equivalent. So these people, they're multi-billionaires, and some people would say they have changed our world because of the technology that they've introduced. But, you know, when you go through the list of world changes, you do a Google, who's changed the world the most? Number one, time and time again, is none of these people, because they haven't been around very long, but it's the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one who everyone would say has changed our world the most. There's probably 2 billion Christians following him, believing what he says. And so he has influenced our world and changed the world the most. But what I want to say this morning is I want to talk about a man who changed our world as well. Someone you would look at and say, he would never be a world changer. But we've just read about this guy, and this guy was called the person, his name was Simon Peter, or Peter, as he later got called by Jesus. And he is somebody who absolutely changed our world because he had an encounter with the person of Jesus. What we know about Peter was that he was a fisherman. He was in the business of fishing, and not a business I would want to be in. Not a great fan of water. Don't particularly like the smell of fish. But that was his job. He worked with Andrew, his brother, and James and John. They were kind of in a partnership. He was probably very, very poor. He was educated. He was able to read and write, but he wasn't great. He probably didn't get an A for his GCSEs. But he could write. He was married. He was one of those people who was very impulsive. If anything was happening, he would tell you about it. But very often, he would put his foot in his mouth because he'd come out with stuff which was, why are you saying that? But very, very impulsive. He probably never travelled outside of the country or the town he lived in, even the country he lived in. He was an ordinary person. He had an ordinary life, but became a world changer. And I suppose I question you, actually. This is where I want to start, just to ask you a question. Is your life changing our world? Is your life changing our world? None of us want to think about our funerals. But I question you, what would be said at your funeral about you and the things that you have done with your life and the way that your life has played out and the influence it's had on other people? I want to look at this story because there are three things I think are really important that we see when Jesus meets Peter. The first thing we read was that he was a person who was chosen. Jesus was standing on the seashore. People were coming to hear him. The crowd got bigger and bigger, and he got to the point and he thought to himself, do you know, I can't stand it. I'm going to be walking back into the water. I need somewhere to sit and teach these people. And so he's there. Peter and Andrew, James and John are there. So he basically says to Simon, can I get in your boat? Can I get in your boat? And I will teach from your boat. So he gets in the boat, and the boat is then pushed away from the shore. And Jesus sits down and teaches the crowd. And at that point, we realize there is an encounter happening. And actually, Peter has been chosen by Jesus. Because what I see here, and maybe you'll see this, is that Jesus got into his boat. It's like Jesus invaded his space and said, you know, I'm here and I want to take what you have and I want to use it. There was that introduction. Peter actually knew Jesus before he got in his boat, but Jesus stands there and gets in the boat with Peter, into his space, into his workplace, and there he starts to teach. You see, what I see when I read the Bible is that Jesus always had a purpose. He didn't kind of wander around aimlessly, but he had a plan everywhere he went, and this day was to change Peter's life. To step into his life, to change him, to offer him a new life and a new purpose. Every day I listen to Nicky Gumbel, who's the guy who runs the Alpha course, and he does a Bible reading. And one day he told this story of a guy called Shane Taylor. And this is what he said. Shane Taylor was considered one of the most dangerous men in the UK. Originally, he was jailed for attempted murder. His sentence was extended by 4 years when he attacked a prison guard with broken glass, setting off a riot. He was put in a segregation unit inside a maximum security prison. He was given his food through a hatch. His door was not opened unless there were 6 officers armed with riot shields waiting outside. Later, he was transferred to Long Larton Maximum Security Prison, where he was invited to an Alpha course. During the Alpha course, he prayed, Jesus Christ, I know you died on a cross for me. I hate who I am, who I've become. Please forgive me and come into my life. At that moment, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything changed overnight. He said, I knew God existed. I knew Jesus had touched me, and I was going to live for him forever. He has saved me. He has forgiven me for what I've done. He has turned my life around. His behavior changed so much that he went from living in total segregation to getting a trusted job in the prison chaplaincy. While still in prison, he started sending money to a charity in Africa. He prayed for the prison officers and his enemies. And when he came out of prison, he got involved in a church. He met a girl called Sam, who had also had a tough life and had been involved with drugs and criminal activity. She also came to faith in Jesus. Now they are married and have 4 children. And Shane's life was turned upside down. And he goes around telling people about his story, how Jesus stepped into his life and transformed him. His life was transformed. He was forgiven. He was given love and purpose and peace and joy. And as we think about being COVID and all the things that have happened, there are many people who are struggling. And well-being is talked about everywhere we go, isn't it? Excuse me. It's on everybody's lips. There are mental health issues. There's fear, anxiety, hopelessness. And the statistics speak for themselves. People are struggling. But what I want to say is that actually I believe that Jesus Christ is the answer. He said two things. Two things he said. Well, firstly, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And surely that's what people need today. They need that sense of rest. Life is so hard and so heavy. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. The other thing he said was, I have come that you may have life and life to the full. I could ask for a show of hands who would like a life that is good to the full. And I'm sure you would sit there and say, I want that kind of life. And I believe it is offered through the person of Jesus. He makes himself real through the Bible, through the voice of the Holy Spirit. He makes himself real through bringing life and healing and hope to people. I wonder if he wants to get into your boat, whether he wants to be part of your life. And I'm sure that he does. But we need to be willing to let him in. The second thing I see in this story is a sense of conviction. You see, Peter, trained fisherman, knew all about fish. It was probably midday or the afternoon, and he knew that was not the time to go fishing. You would go fishing at night when all the fish are sleepy. Is that right? I don't know. But you go fishing at night, apparently, and that's the time to catch fish. Jesus said to him, excuse me, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Peter's probably in his mind going, that is absolutely ridiculous, Jesus. I'm a fisherman, you're a carpenter. I think that's not a good idea. And it says, Master, we've worked all night and caught, we haven't caught anything. And then he goes, but because you say so, I'm going to do it. And when we read that once they'd done it, they put down their nets. There were so many fish that they couldn't, the boat was about to sink, so they had to call their partners along and filled their boat with fish as well. It was an amazing catch. And we see what Peter did next. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Interesting that Peter starts by calling him Master, and then he says, Lord. You see, what Peter realized, two things. Firstly, he realized that the state of his life was not great. He realized that he had done things that were not holy, not good, and not pleasing to God. He recognized that maybe his language is wrong. Perhaps the things that he had felt within him, his doubts, his anger, he was a man who got angry. His heart was dark and empty. And here he was, stood next to someone who was pure and holy. You look great today, by the way. Can I just say that? You all look very smart this morning. Thank you for coming. But, you know, I wonder what you're like on the inside. When I was a young man, my first car was a Vandenpla. Okay? That sounds very expensive, doesn't it? Well, it wasn't. It was a cheap old banger. And it looked on the outside. It was one of those sort of 1100, 1300 shapes. Some of you going, no. Some of you going, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about because it's so long ago. It was my first car and it looked amazing. I polished that car. It looked absolutely great. Can I say it had leather seats? But this was the real thing. In the back, the front seats had walnut trays you could drop down. And a little chrome insert to put your cup into. That is classy, isn't it? Yeah, I bet your car hasn't got that. Anyway, I bought this car. I think it was absolutely amazing. I don't know how much I paid for it, hundreds of pounds. I polished it. It looked amazing because it had chrome everywhere. Came for the MOT a year after I bought it. Guess what? It was totally rotten underneath. They had a screwdriver and they were putting it through the seals and every part of it was rusted out. But on the top, it looked amazing. And that's the trouble with some of us, isn't it? I'm not being rude. But for some of us, we put on a good show. We look good. People say, oh, they're amazing. But for some of us inside, we struggle with dark things. And you know, I want to say that actually Jesus knew exactly what Peter was like. He knew his faults and his failings, and he still accepted him just as he was. And that's the great news about Christianity. God sees what we're like on the inside and accepts us just as we are. So Peter understood who he was, and he was on his knees. He was saying, you know, go away from me because I am really bad. But he also realized who the person of Jesus was. That Jesus was not just an ordinary man. He called him Lord because he realized this guy is the Son of God. This guy is somebody special. This is someone I should be worshiping and I should be following. When we do the Alpha course, which I've talked about, we're running one in September, it's to discover more about Christianity. And one of the Alpha course bits I really like is the good, is the God, mad or bad moment. And it goes a bit like this. Jesus said he was God. Okay, he said to people, I am God. Now, if I said I was God, you'd go, you better have a couple of weeks off, Will. Perhaps pop along to the doctor, get some tablets. Because you'd say, well, actually, Will, you're mad. How can you be God? But Jesus said he was God. And so, you know, we have to think, well, was Jesus God? Or was he just totally balmy? Was he totally deluded? But the other thing people say is, well, was he mad or was he bad? And you go, well, Jesus wasn't bad. He was a really nice person. He'd go around healing people. He took the kids on his knees and said, oh, bless you, bless you, bless you. But actually, when you go around saying you're God and people start to follow you, if you're not God, you're actually deceiving people, aren't you? You're telling them lies. You're not telling them the truth. So Jesus could have been mad because he said he was God, or he could have been a bad person. Or the last thing is, Jesus is actually God. Wow. Now, if Jesus is God, then he's the most important person who's ever lived. Sorry, more important than you. Or more important than my four friends. Because if God has stepped down into history, surely he is someone we need to listen to. We need to think about what he said. And perhaps we need to follow what he did. And Peter, in that moment, when all those fish filled the boat. Now, I don't know how he did this, but he probably knelt on a load of fish. But he was on the floor. He said, Jesus, I'm a sinful person. Go away from me. He realized he was God. The conviction of his heart was this no ordinary person, but this is someone special. And that, for many people, was the start of their journey as Christians. Because they realize, actually, this person is no ordinary person. He is God and worth following. The last thing was that Peter suddenly was committed. And when we use the word committed, it sounds like he was put in an asylum. But he wasn't. You see, what Jesus did was basically said to him, he said, you know, here we are, Peter. You've been doing fishing all your life. I want you now to follow me. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything and followed him. They knew what they were doing. They could catch fish all night long, apparently. But all of a sudden, Jesus invites them to a life-changing adventure. He invites them to follow him and do something different. But this wasn't something that was going to just be an overnight thing. This was a life-changing event. And it says there they pulled out their boats and they started to follow him. Wow. Because what happened was that Peter's choice meant that he became a world changer. He part exchanged his fishing for God's ministry. I changed my car last year. A nice shiny car. I washed it last week in the car park. The shiny one's probably mine because I did. I spent about 3 hours cleaning it. And with it, I got a whole bag of kind of cleaning material and I gave it 7 different treatments. That's not going to last long, is it? Let's be honest. We have a car for a little while, and yeah, we'll clean it, and then I can't be bothered. My wife only got 5 treatments on her car, by the way. But I cleaned it. But I went to the garage and I said, this car of mine, this old car, it's done 100,000 miles. It's time for a change. And what amazed me was they were really happy to have it. And they were really happy to give me a really good price. And I went away feeling great. I've done a good job here. I've got a decent price. I've got a new car. The part exchange went well in my books. I don't know what they thought. But you know, when I think about Christianity, I always think that Christianity is a part exchange with what you have at the moment for a new life with God. What you have at the moment for a new life for God. It is a choice that we make. We are not born into Christianity. Christianity is a choice that God invites us to make. And Peter was invited to that choice. And he chose to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. What you probably don't know is how Peter's life changed. These are a few of the things that he did. He declared that Jesus was God. And Jesus said to him, what you have said, Peter, on that I will build my church. You think of the church today, as I said earlier, 2 billion people. On what Peter declared, the church was built. That's pretty good, isn't it? For a guy who was a fisherman, whose life really wasn't going anywhere. What we also need to know is that Peter walked on water. Okay? Hands up if you walked on water recently. Yeah, no takers today. Doesn't normally get any takers. But can you imagine what that is like to be the first man to walk on water? I know, upsetting. He also preached a sermon where 3,000 people got converted to Christianity in one go. Okay? It's like saying, you know, who wants to be a Christian today? 3,000 people out of the crowd put their hands up and say, me. So can you imagine how he felt as he preached? We know that he was the church leader in Jerusalem. We know that he performed miracles. That people wanted his shadow to fall on them as he walked by so they could be healed. Wow. That's a bit better than fishing, isn't it? We know that actually he also raised a person from the dead. Okay? You see, Peter's life was very ordinary until he chose to follow Jesus. And then it became extraordinary. He did a part exchange with what he had for something new. And for me, what I really believe is that God wants to part exchange our lives, whatever they're like, for something new and for something different. But it's a choice that each one of us has to consider. Jesus steps into our life and he calls us to follow him, to give up what we have, to exchange it for something greater. The question is, will we do that? It is our choice, something we never force on people, but something we all need to consider. Because Jesus is a world changer. And he wants to make people world changers as well. You know, I love this church because in this church we have people who have changed the world. They're not billionaires. We have people who've started mission organizations, who've helped hundreds and hundreds of children out of poverty, who have fed them and helped them. We have people in this church who give generously, who give thousands of pounds to support this church and what it does. We have people who build things in our church, the stage and all kinds of other stuff. They have changed the world here in the church. We have people who are counsellors, who sit and love people and listen to them. We have people who work with our children. We have people who work with young people. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? But what they're doing is they're changing the world for those young people. We have people who pray with those who are struggling. We have people involved in healing on the streets. We have people today who will serve you coffee with a smile. I believe their world changes too, because they can lift people's spirits and he can help them. We have people who serve in food bank every week here in the church. I wonder whether what you do changes people's worlds. Because I believe when we partner with God, when we give ourselves to God, we can achieve even more through him and with him. Thank you for listening. Bless you.